Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay or bisexual men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. Before I introduce my co-hostess for tonight, I just want to make a couple of announcements. Most importantly, I hope everybody who's listening to this will send big prayers and big hugs to our Jen from our group, who's going through a very long and painful recovery from her illness. And she asked if everybody could please keep her in their prayers, so please do. And Jen, we love you. Those of us who have had the opportunity to know you, you're a hero to all of us. And so just keep up. I know it's discouraging when you don't see yourself getting better immediately, but you've made such progress, and you'll continue to do so. Also, I just wanted to let people know that our healing weekend is only another few weeks away, and we still have room because we try not to ever limit it. So if you'd like to be part of this wonderful event, we're going to have some unbelievable workshops going on, some wonderful therapists who are coming to our aid, and specialists and life coaches. It'll be our most dynamic one yet, so we still have room. If you're interested, please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, and in the headline, put down Healing Weekend, and I'll be happy to send you the information. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my co-hostess for tonight, my good buddy and friend, Deborah Sutton. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're supposed to be having some snow here soon, and I wasn't expecting that, but it's not going to stay for very long because spring is definitely on its way. How are things in Texas?
Well, it was a beautiful day here today. A little cold, though, which surprised me, but it might be the last cold snap before spring.
The last hurrah before the Texas heat comes pounding down on your head, right?
Yes. It was so nice, I turned off my air and opened up the windows.
I always said there's nothing hotter to me than Florida until I got to Texas. And then I realized there definitely is something hotter than Florida. And I don't think there's anything hotter than that. I guess there are, you know, maybe down south below the United States there might be. But I don't think within the United States that anything could be any hotter than Texas.
It is,
I've been a lot of places. But Texas in August, phew. I didn't even think I was alive. I'll never forget when I got off the plane one year. It was August, and I started to breathe, and I was gasping for breath, and I said, oh, my God, where is the air? I couldn't find it. It was very discouraging.
I guess we get used to it here.
I'm sure. Yeah, just like people in Florida get used to the heat, too. But when you're from the north, you can't get used to that. You're just crying, why am I here? So I'm glad that the longer you stay, I guess you do get used to the heat. But I guess you have to be near a lot of air conditioning, right?
Oh, couldn't go without that.
Yeah. Talk all brave like you want, but in the summertime, that air is what keeps you going. I don't know how people live before air conditioning, to be honest with you. How did anybody survive that, right?
I know. I remember when I was little, we didn't always have air conditioning, and then the central, and then window units came, and
uh-huh.
We had one window unit for our house, and we had that one cool room.
Yeah, that everybody had to sleep in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody had to sleep in the one cool room.
Yeah.
That's how it was in our house when I was little, too. We used to run to the room with the air conditioner to sleep. Things have really changed since then, thankfully. So how are you doing, Deb?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just had a relaxing weekend.
Good. I'm really glad that you could join us tonight on the show, because every time you're on, I get such wonderful feedback from people, because you are definitely one person who's out there who's always willing to give support to people who need it, and you always inspire us with the words that you find about our lives and living as a straight wife. And I think that people need to hear encouraging words, because this is such a discouraging situation. And you know, we try to be there for everybody that we can be. But, you know, it's like I say, very hard when you see people suffering so, and trying
it
to
is.
Encourage them not to give up, right?
It is, because when you first, you know, find out and you're living with, I mean, it's such a painful experience in the beginning, and it feels like the pain is never going to end.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, it does end. And I want people to know that, you know, the pain does end.
Well, I would say it ends, but it's not going to end while you're living in these marriages.
No, no.
Do you agree to that?
I agree to that. It only gets worse.
And I like to really be clear about my position, because, you know, somebody brought to my attention earlier today that they thought I was very black and white, and because, you know, they wrote to me and about the situation with bisexuality. And, you know, I personally, you know, I am there for the women who find themselves living in a mess and they can't understand what's going on. And I know a lot of people bargain with the term bisexuality, or they think it's good, because bisexuality does imply that there's a choice, that I could choose you or I could choose him. And I think it makes us struggle so much more, because we feel, as long as there's a choice, I'm going to do everything I humanly can to make sure that I'm that choice. But that's really not what it's about. It's not about trying harder so you'll be the choice. I mean, when somebody tells you that they're bisexual, you have to understand they're attracted to men.
Yeah.
And if people feel that this is the life they want to live, and they're told by their boyfriends or husbands that, you know, I love you, even though I'm attracted to men, I would never cheat on you. I always tell them, well, hopefully you'll be the exception. And hopefully, you know, if you want to stay within that relationship, hopefully it will work for you. I never tell people, no, it's never going to work. I mean, that's something that I can't tell anybody. They have to find that out for themselves. And also, I think what people are willing to live with. You know, there are some people who say, look, you know, it could be worse. At least, you know, he's home. At least he's there for me. At least, you know, he's a father to the children. Or at least he's always with me. You know, if women feel that this is a situation that's okay for them, then I feel it's okay for me too. You know, I don't tell people what they have to do. That's a decision they have to make. I
yes.
just don't understand why you want to be in that situation. But, I mean, once again, who am I to say somebody can't be happy living it? I never say that. I always say, if you're happy, then you really don't need me.
And I don't know that it's you're so black and white, but just that you're honest. And some people aren't ready to hear that.
Well, that could be true. But I'm saying that, you know, the way I describe the situation, you know, it may not be for 100% of the people, but I think it's for 95%. So I'm not going to mix it up for the 5% that are the exception. I just tell them I wish you good luck. There's support out there for you. There are people who want to stay in their marriages, and there's all kinds of groups online that want to do that. And they need to find support from them, not from me. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means that I can't help them. And I know a lot of times people don't like what I have to say when they want to hear something different. But I just don't feel I can be inconsistent. I just don't feel that I could give up on what I believe. You know, for the 95% of women who suffer with this, you know, for the 5% that may be okay with it, everybody is different. You know, you've talked to a lot of our women and worked alongside with them trying, to work to be a healer with them. So do you feel that they're pretty much in the same boat we're all in? Or do you get women who tell you, well, that's not the way it is?
I've had women that tried to stay in their marriages in the beginning thinking their husband says they're bisexual, but it turns out that their husbands end up coming out as gay. They end up leaving the marriage. You know, I haven't seen anybody, I haven't known anybody to end up staying.
I know people who stay, you know, and they make adjustments. Yes, I absolutely do. I mean, not a lot, but I know some. And that's the choice they have to make. You know, it's a matter of what you're willing to give up on one end for another. And I think that if you've never had high expectations in a marriage, then this marriage could work for you. I realize that a lot of women come from backgrounds, especially women who are, you know, part of our network, that are less than, you know, functional in many cases, not all cases for sure. Some women had very functional, healthy families. But many of us didn't. You know, we came from broken families, or we came from families when there was drugs or alcohol or abuse. And so we were willing to jump into something that kind of seemed like more normal than what we were in. And it didn't really matter that it wasn't real normal. It would just seem like it was better than what we had. Because we didn't have a model of what was a good relationship. How about in your family? Was it a functional family, would you say?
No, dysfunctional family with alcohol and divorce. And yes, I come from that background of dysfunction.
I came from dysfunction, too. So for me, you know, my skewed vision of what a relationship should be was very, very mixed up. You know, what I was looking for was not, quote, normal. It was like the abnormal that I was living in because that was the only life I knew. You know, I thought that's what life was supposed to be like. And that's why I always tell my women to use this as a gauge when you come to me for help. What should I do? I say to you, if you have a daughter or a sister, you know, who would come to you and say, I want to marry a guy, and he's just like your husband, would you tell them, go ahead and do it? And I haven't had one person yet say yes. They all say, well, I would tell them to run as far away as they could. And I always say, well, if it's not good enough for them, why is it good enough for you?
that's exactly the truth. You know, we wouldn't want that for our own daughters.
Right. I mean, and I think that kids model themselves after their parents. I see this happening all the time. When kids grow up in a relationship that lacks love or lacks affection, then that is the normal they're looking for. They say,
yeah.
Well, that's what works for my parents. I guess that's the way life is supposed to be. And so they find themselves in very common situations. Like one of our members once told me, we are the legacy to our children. You know, whatever we do, they're going to do themselves. And this one woman who wrote my first book, Shattered Lives, Straight Lives, Shattered Lives, Part 1, wonderful woman, Mindy, I'll never forget what she told me. She said, you know, she settled for years that she was living in abuse, physical abuse with her gay husband. And because she didn't want to leave the kids and break up the family, she just did it. You know, she just accepted it. And she didn't want to break up the family. But then when her daughter was older, her daughter got into the same kind of relationship with the guy who was hitting her. And she couldn't get her to leave. And she says, well, you stayed through it, and why should I have to leave? And that's when she realized that she was going to leave. She was going to set the record straight. That this
mm-hmm.
kind of marriage is just not acceptable for you. That, you know, you're right. I don't want this to be the legacy that I leave behind. I want to be a role model and not an example that's a bad example. And that's
yeah.
when she got divorced. And I think that for kids, looking onto their, you know, way their parents behave is the way they're going to behave. You think that's true?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we, you know, we bring that dysfunction to our children, you know, when we stay in it.
No, I think kids get a really skewed view of what life is about. And when I was working with some of the young adults who had relationships, you know, who had gay fathers, who were coming out of these, you know, marriages, many of them had so many issues that were very sad. And we always say, well, the kids don't hear us fighting, the kids don't know that we're not happy. First of all, your children know you better than you think. And just like you can tell when your kids aren't happy, they can tell when you're not happy. They have much better senses for things like that. And they were always aware of their parents' unhappiness. And, you know, it really takes the effect on the toll on their future relationships as far as trust, as far as being honest with someone. And I think that's really sad that, you know, it has to affect them so much. And that's why even though people think they're doing the better thing by staying together for the sake of the family, I don't think you're helping the family. I think you're hurting the family. I mean, I'm not saying you have to walk out today, but you have to have a plan to go.
Yeah.
Because staying in that kind of a marriage is never very helpful, and especially when it comes to the children. You think you're doing them a favor, but you're not. Have you found that with the women that you talk to?
Yes, women stay in for the children, and you know, I was married once before, and I stayed in that marriage for a very long time, you know, for my children, and
mm-hmm.
it really wasn't a healthy environment for them. So you know, I understand, but you know, but I was like financially. When my children were young, I was financially dependent on my
mm-hmm.
first two, so I understand, you know. It's hard. It's hard to leave when your children are little.
It is. You know, it's very difficult. And I always tell women, you can have a plan. You don't have to walk out today, but you have to plan to do something. So take a course while they're little. You know, try to go back to school so you can have some kind of financial stability. You know, and I think it's important when you can to try to get some skills so that you can go out and not have to be dependent. The problem is that a lot of times when you're living with a man who's broken, and I don't mean that gay is broken, so please don't misunderstand anyone, but many of these guys are living a lie. And these are, you know, gay married men are different than other gay men who are open and honest with themselves. But when they're living a lie and you know, they're not telling the truth every day, you know, it takes its personal effect on them, and it really does, and the way they treat us. And it's not always in a very kind way. So eventually you get really mentally beaten down, and you just kind of give in. And you just kind of say, there's nothing I can do about this. And I really understand that very much. You know, I tell that to the women I work with. I don't judge anybody. Now, I was very lucky. I was in a situation where my ex-husband was trying to teach me a lesson, so he walked out. And he said, this is it. I'm leaving you. And I know that his intention was to have me just break and say when he came back, okay, I'll do whatever you want. You know, I'll live however you want me to live. I'll just accept what you want me to do. But that didn't happen. You know, during that 1 week, even though I had nothing but two little babies and nothing to live on and no education at that time, more than a GED, you know, I said, no matter what I have to do, I can't go back because I'll never get out of this. You know, he took the opportunity and he walked out to teach me a lesson. Well, I can't let him walk back in. And boy, that was so hard. I had two tiny little son 3 months old and daughter 2.5 years old. And I was scared, Deborah. You know, I didn't have anything to back me up.
I bet he was surprised when you didn't let him come back.
Oh, he was. He was very surprised. In fact, he said to me, I can't believe you're going to break up a marriage. You know, and I said, I didn't break up the marriage. You walked out. I said, you left. So, you know, he said, well, I'm back. I said, no, you left, and that's it. I can't live the way we were living. And, you know, look, I know that he was living a tortured life for himself. You know, he couldn't keep being who he wasn't. You know, it was torture for him, you know, having to keep living a lie and keeping track of all the lies on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's the problem that many of these men have. You know, they're living a lie. They can't be honest about it because they feel that'll destroy their marriage. They don't have the courage to come out of their marriage. And a lot of them have, you know, guys on the side or they have relationship with men. So it's not like they're just, you know, having casual sex. A lot of them fall in love with guys or fall in lust with them. And you know, they make them all kinds of promises, but they're not going anywhere. They're not looking to leave. You know, they're happy just staying in that marriage and having sex on the side. And what's really sad is that they bring home diseases. I had a woman call me last week with HIV. And she had gone through gonorrhea. All because of the fact that she was sleeping with her gay husband, who wouldn't be honest with her. So it's, you know, so many different kinds of layers of deceit that go and that are involved with this. And I always tell men and women that it's not about infidelity, it's about sexuality. Because this is a whole different kind of deception. You know, it's very different than when you're lying about being involved with somebody on the outside as a woman. When you're gay, you know, you're not only going on the outside, but you're blaming your wife for all the problems in the marriage. And one of the things I was reading today, because I was really going back through some of the writings that I had, namely because I was looking for some stuff to review with our readers as far as, you know, older articles that I had in the beginning, which I thought were really really great ones because, you know, it's just starting out. But one of the things was that, you know, I had this article here about living La Vida Loca, about men who won't leave the marriage. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, men who won't leave the closet. And the subject can never be talked about enough because it seems to be a stumbling block for so many of us who can't get our husbands to come clean with the truth about their homosexuality. I receive so many letters each month from women who are sure about their husbands but fear confronting them. But I also get letters from women who do confront their husbands with evidence in hand and get denials, the distorted truths, giving excuses such as, those pictures belong to a coworker, or I have no clue how those websites got on our computer. For those women whose husbands eventually tell you the truth, count yourself as lucky, even though you may not feel that way at the time. No doubt hearing the word gay is devastating, but not hearing it is even worse. This month, I received over 32 letters from women who asked me for advice because their husbands or ex-husbands will not admit to their homosexuality. These women know the truth. They've stumbled on it one way or another. It has smacked them in the face through hidden websites, email, pornography, letters, hotel receipts, phone bills, etc. And yet their husbands just keep lying or denying. They're not ready to be honest and never may be ready. Some men will never be ready to accept their homosexuality because it's too painful or embarrassing. These are the men whom I call the limbo men. Their whole lives are lived in limbo. They are emotionally straight, but physically gay. They never feel totally comfortable in either world, but they're much more comfortable passing in the straight world, where they're accepted as part of the mainstream society. All married gay men go through this limbo for a short amount of time. In other words, they are stuck in between both worlds, hoping that by wanting the straight world badly enough, they'll be able to cross over into it. They keep thinking that if they play the role long enough, they'll become transformed into the part, just not play the part as an actor. But the limbo men I place in this category are different from other gay men who eventually come to terms with themselves. They are even different than the gay men who are staying in their marriages but who acknowledge they are gay, at least on some level. The real limbo men have no sense of remorse for what they're doing to their wives. In fact, they often feel as if they are the victims and strike back at their wives in an emotional or physically abusive manner. They blame their wives for their unhappiness and never had a clue about the damage they are being done to these women who they promise to love, cherish, and respect. They place the blame of their unhappiness on their wives when, in fact, there's nothing the wives could possibly do to make them feel happy or fulfilled. The wives are women, and they are gay men. These are the men who will never leave their marriages. They will stay there until the day they die, leading painful existence and sharing that pain with their wives. More specifically, pouring that pain upon their wives. We all know that misery loves company, and these men are happy to make you as miserable as they are. So often the limbo men husbands luck out. They have wives who are much kinder and more understanding than average. These are the women who will keep trying every little trick in the book, thinking someday they will get their husbands hooked. The women live in an accepted existence, looking for the crumbs in the marriage, while trying to turn those crumbs into a cake. It's truly a tragedy and waste of human life. And that was all the way back then, Deb.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
I know.
I felt that you described my husband, my ex-husband, but then he did want out of the marriage after 22 years. But he was never going to give me the answers that I needed to heal and move forward. You know, I had to find those answers myself and find them in the group, a support group, the Straight Wives support. And I felt like I was able to get my feelings and emotions out in the group and learned a lot from being in the group. But no, he wasn't ever going to, I mean, if women are waiting for this revelation or this truth to come from them, sometimes it never does.
You know? Well, because I really do believe in my mind that a lot of these guys don't believe that they're gay. You know, in fact, my friend Doug sent me an article today, and I thought it was really interesting. You know, he had found this in a gay paper, a gay publication, and it was about gay straight men having gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right away, you know, I have to think about, you know, the terminology that really confuses us.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when people are saying, well, it's okay to have sex with a man, it doesn't make you gay. And, like, some of the reasons they were saying were just, like, so horrible why they were doing it. But here, this article said, on the down low, straight identifying men speak candidly about their sexual relationships with other men. And it said, a recent national survey released by the CDC revealed that more Americans are identifying as bisexual than ever before. Not only that, but more straight-identifying men are admitting to having tried gay sex. researchers interviewed more than 9,000 men and women ages 18 to 44. Of all the men interviewed, 6.2% said they had engaged in same-sex sexual activity at least once in their lifetime. And of that 6.2%, 2.3% identified as straight. So who are these men, and more importantly, where are they? Hint, they're everywhere. It took some serious detective
work. They identify as straight, but they're having
sex,
men.
That's that. We managed to locate a few and convince them to chat with us under the agreement we keep their identities confidential. So here's what they said. Rob, which is not his name, is 46 years old. He lives in San Jose, California, and has been married to his wife for 12 years. He identifies as straight with bisexual tendencies and has been hooking up with other guys on the down low since he was 19. Quote, hooking up with other men to me is a non-complicated way of releasing sexual steam, he explains. It's simply a physical release with no pressure. Rob prefers getting together with other married men on the down low as opposed to single or openly gay men. He finds most guys on Craigslist or dating sites like Swort.org. I seek out other married men for the simple fact they are in the same boat as me, and hopefully they can relate to what I'm looking for, he says. I do not want to jeopardize my marriage. Another married man can understand that. Other married men are not willing to take as many risks. The primary risk being, Rob says, getting strong emotions or falling in love. I wouldn't want to become the object of another man's desire. I do find some men attractive, but for me it's just sexual. I don't feel attracted to men in a loving way at all. Currently, there are two guys that Rob sees on a regular basis. One is divorced and the other is a widower and semi-retired, he explains. They both live alone and therefore are able to host our get-togethers. But he's careful to add, there is no love involved. Tony, not his real name, is a 32-year-old, a divorcee, and he lives in New York and just recently began identifying as bisexual, though he's only out to a small handful of people. He has a casual girlfriend as well as a few regular buddies who he will occasionally meet for sex. The first time I messed around with a guy, I was 21, he said. He was an older married guy who I met on the gay website. My challenge is that New York City is a very, very feminine gay city, and it's not my type. I'm only into guys who are on the down low, not being noticed as gay. That's my protocol. When I find someone who's a match, I keep them as a regular. Tony says he meets most of his hookups on dating apps or on Craigslist, and he will often develop close friendships with them afterwards. He said he's not paranoid about people knowing what he does, but he's not 100% comfortable with it either. I would be afraid of telling someone I had relationships with a man, he admits, adding that maybe someday he'll feel differently. Until then, I need to make sure the guy meets my criteria. Andrew, not his real name, is 33 years old and lives in New Orleans, Louisiana. He identifies as totally straight and has been married to his wife since he's 21. He had his first gay experience about 10 years ago. I had been married for 2 years and was feeling that I wanted to try something different, he says. I've messed around with about a dozen guys since then. It isn't often, usually when it feels like my marriage is in a slump or getting boring. It actually invigorates me. Like both Rob and Tony, he finds most of the guys he hooks up with online and tends to gravitate towards others who are on the down low. I prefer men on the down low, Andrew explains. I find I have more in common and it's easier to make a connection. What do you think of all these, Deb?
Oh, I just think that's all so confusing. I know that, I mean, I don't want to be married to a man like that.
I think it's what it comes down to. I mean, you know, some people want to go that, you know, there's a Kinsey scale and people identify as either heterosexual or homosexual or there's six steps in between. You know, mostly heterosexual with a little bit of gay or half and half or primarily gay but a little straight. I mean, it's so confusing. I mean, I just don't get it. So I think that it's like what Dr. Brian Hooper always says, is this what you signed up for? That's number one. I mean, is this what you want to live with? Are you willing to share your husband with another man? Does the word straight really mean anything? I mean, is it just a word or a name? Do we really have to pay that much attention to it? Or can we just say men who like to sleep with other men and not call it a name, and then maybe people could be more honest about it? I think they don't like that name, gay. What do you think?
They don't like it. I had a man write to me on my blog. You know, he said that there are a lot of straight men that like to occasionally have sex with men. So, I mean, that's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back and forth a little bit, and I just told him he wasn't going to be able to define the word, redefine the word gay. And so we just agreed to disagree and moved on. But, yeah, there are men that identify as straight and feel that it's okay to go out and have sex with men.
So that's the next thing I tell them. Okay, so let's say you don't want to say you're asexual, bisexual, confused sexual, dysfunction sexual, you know, all the lists that they have of what they are. I say, if you don't want to say you're gay, that's fine. So call yourself not straight. And that's what I tell them. You may not be gay, but you're certainly not straight, because straight men don't think this way. So you don't have to call yourself gay. You just have to say, yes, I'm not straight. And then let people figure out what you are.
Yes.
Or it's none of their business what you are. But at least you have to accept it to yourself that straight men don't have this kind of behavior. I don't care if they're mostly straight, or they identify as straight, or they're living a straight life. I can guarantee you that if a man is sleeping with men, there is something definitely wrong in their marriage. Wouldn't you think so, Deb?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But, you know, I know for me, you know, I'm straight, and I've never desired a woman, never have had sex with a woman. I don't have those feelings for a woman, you know, that I have for a man. So if somebody is married to a straight woman, but they're having feelings for sexual feelings for men, that's not straight to me.
No, it's the same thing as I'm not attracted to women. I mean, I have friends who are lesbians, and I embrace them. I think it's wonderful that they can be who they are. I just can't be what they are. But we get along fine because we have that understanding. I'm straight, they're gay. But guess what? All of a sudden I started thinking about women and having sex with them and then acted on it but stayed with my straight relationship that I'm in, I still couldn't call myself straight. I would have to call myself non-straight. Because
you
want to have sex with somebody in the same case.
And, you know, they feel the need to hide this part of themselves from
mm-hmm.
their wife. And everyone else, so they're
What would happen if they were honest about it? And then they would say, well, look, I have to be honest with you. You know, I do love you. You're wonderful. But I just have this need for, you know, a penis once in a while. Is this a problem for you? And the wife said, what? Yeah, it is a problem for me. Well, then at least you're honest and you told her, right?
Right.
Now she may not want to stay with you, but that's the chance you're going to have to take. But to sit and live a lie with her and pretend like nothing's happening when it is,
that's
a very
selfish mistake. It is selfish. They're making choices for her and her life. They're making decisions for her.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not living honestly. I mean, give her the information. Let her make her own life decisions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, I think that it's really a matter of semantics, a matter of accepting what you are. And when you can't, you know, they just try to call it something else, and then they blame us. Like some of the letters I was reading on comments I was reading after these articles, one guy would say, well, if my wife wasn't so boring in bed, then I would be able to, you know, figure out, and then I wouldn't have to sleep with guys. I mean, that really hurt when I read that.
That's so unfair.
Right?
Right, it is so unfair. You know, his desires are for a man, and she can't satisfy him because she's not a man. So, and then he turns around and blames her.
Uh-huh.
Wrong.
I mean, this is what I think is just so ridiculous, that men want to blame it on their wives being boring. Or what I really can't stand is after gay man's been married to a woman, let's say for 20, 22 years, and he'll say, well, you know, it wasn't my fault. We just didn't have a good sex life. She didn't want to have sex with me. Oh, okay. Well, let's think of the reasons why she didn't want to have sex with you. First of all, when you have to hit somebody over the head to get sex out of them, eventually you just feel like giving up. Next, most of these guys weren't very good in bed at all. So naturally, why would you want to keep going after that? And as desperate as some women are because they connect, you know, a sexual action to feeling emotionally needed or wanted, it doesn't really have any connection when you're with a gay man. And women can tell it's not good, or that somebody's doing them a favor, or it takes 3 minutes, or there's no foreplay or emotion that goes with it. And then her husband says, well, you know, stop complaining. We're always having sex. You know, that's very belittling, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's easy to understand why, you know, people would be in a situation where that just wasn't going to, you know, be the answer. I mean, to blame their wife because she doesn't want to have sex. Well, take a good look inside yourself and see why would she want to have sex with a gay man who can't possibly satisfy her. Some of these guys can do some stuff in their 20s and maybe even in their 30s for a while, but after a while, it's over.
It is. And that's what I experienced in my marriage. You know, after a while, there was no sex at all.
Mm-hmm. And you hate fighting for it, right?
Yes, I just gave up. I didn't want to approach him any longer and be rejected.
Well, that's what it is. You know, you feel that sense of rejection. So you just don't want to have to keep, you know, confronting that.
Right.
You get to the point where you just want to curl up and be left alone because you don't want to be called a nymphomaniac and you're sex addicted and there's something wrong with you and you can't satisfy me and you're always thinking about sex. You know, you hear all of these insults and eventually you just say, forget it.
My ex-husband, he basically blamed himself, but, I mean, he said, you know, he blamed depression and medication and alcohol. He made up excuses for himself. You know,
And that's what they're very good at doing, making excuses for themselves and blaming you. And, you know, it's just to me like very discouraging when you think about that. Right?
It is. You know, things never got better, though. You know, in the marriage, sex never returned to the marriage. Nothing ever got any better. It only got worse as time went on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that we personalize it, and this is the problem, that we feel responsible for it when it has absolutely nothing to do with us.
And we internalize it and take it personally.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, I saw you post on Facebook that I thought was a beautiful saying, and you always find such beautiful things to post, is one that you posted today, that the best feeling in the whole world is watching things finally fall into place after watching them fall apart for so long. And I thought that was so profound that, you know,
it is good to see, you know, how far you progressed and to come out of that emotional pain. It's a wonderful feeling to finally reach the other side. You know, when you're living in it and you first find out, you think it's going to last forever.
And I think it's true that we just feel that we're so broken that it's never going to get better. It's never going to get fixed. And I think there's a lot of men who just never have any realization of the internal damage they're doing to a beautiful, loving woman that they marry, and who marry them in good faith, expecting to have a life with them, and expecting that they're going to build a life together, they're going to grow old together. You know, they're not expecting that they're going to come home one day and have HIV or gonorrhea or syphilis from their husbands. I mean, this just tears women apart. You know, these lies tear us apart. And, you know, it takes so long to recover for them. Do you feel it hit into your effect of trusting after your marriage, Deborah?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I've made great progress, but I don't know if I feel like I could trust. That would still be very difficult, you know.
Yeah, I think trust is really a very big issue for many of us moving forward. And, you know, it took me many years to understand that because, you know, you come from a situation that you always question yourself. Is somebody going to cheat on you again? Is somebody going to feel you're not good enough for them after a while? Is somebody going to get bored with you in bed? You know, you start internalizing the blame from your failed marriage to your gay husband to all your future relationships for a while. And I think that's normal for us.
I've stayed single. I've been divorced 4 years now, and I haven't dated so far. I just felt like I had a lot of healing to do. But, you know, my ex-husband, he would never be able to acknowledge all the pain he put me through. And this is from living with him for 22 years, he would feel like he's the one that suffered and that no one has suffered like him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how they feel. It's very hard to get a really sincere "I'm sorry" from them. And I think that if they could be honest and say they're really sorry for the pain, that things would be so different moving forward, you know, especially when there's children, that you could co-parent children successfully together. I mean, it doesn't repair all the damage, but it's a good starting point, you know, if you want to. I think most of our women are very caring, compassionate women. And I think these guys purposely sought us out strictly for that reason. They know that most of us are in some kind of field of the helping profession. So they felt safe or they felt comfortable with us because we are loving, kind, caring women. And then when things go wrong, they're always hoping, well, we'll be nice about it because we're just nice women, without realizing so much internal damage that goes inside us from this, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. It was very damaging for me. So, I mean, I know it has been for the women that I'm in contact with. You know, they've been hurt, especially the ones that just walk away without giving any, you know, given any kind of closure.
I know that's the worst part, when you have to walk around not knowing. And that's why I say, you know, you may feel horrible when you find out, but at least you found out and you know why the problems were there. But when somebody can't be honest with you and they're being deceitful with you, you know, that rips you up because you feel like you're trying to fix something that you don't even know what's broken. You know, if people can't be honest with you and people can't tell you, you know, here's somebody who supposedly loves you and married you for the sake of having a wonderful life with you, and they can't even be honest, then that's really a problem. I wanted to ask you, Deborah, also, you have a book, Signs of a Gay Husband, Identifying Closeted Gay Husband Behaviors. And this book came out in this past year. And it seems like you've gotten a lot of good response from it, right?
Yes, Bonnie, it has. From the women that...
Yeah, other women participated with you in this story, right?
Yes. Three other women shared
mm-hmm.
their story. Yes.
And, you know, you gave a lot of signs that women have to look for, you know, based on your experience. And, of course, we all have different experiences, but they're all similar experiences. And even though we may have different circumstances, the emotional deception and the hurt is always the same. And I think
yes.
that unless you've gone through this, it's really hard to relate to it. But you can get your book, you know, Signs of a Gay Husband, over at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Is it at Barnes & Noble also or just Amazon?
It's I don't know who all they sell to, but Amazon, it's on Amazon.
Right. So if you go to Amazon.com, you can either put in Deborah Sutton, and her book will come up, or Signs of a Gay Husband, and that will come up also. And I read this book, and it was very interesting. And, of course, you know, I agree with Deborah on so many of those signs that women miss. And I don't think that we can ever hear it enough. You know, people say, well, isn't it similar to what you say? Well, it doesn't matter. We can hit you over the head 25 times. You know, it's a matter of hearing it over and over. And having people reinforce it because it's such a hard struggle to fight. And so hard to believe something like this, that anything like this could ever happen. Deborah, I'm sure it's the last thing that you expected in your marriage, right?
Yes. I didn't expect this.
Gay
wasn't
one of the criteria when you were getting married that you thought, oh, I better check, are you gay? I mean,
no.
We don't go into relationships saying that to men, right?
No. No, we don't.
Right. So it's not something that's on our checklist to ask men. And chances are they wouldn't be honest about it, even if they were. Because
no.
there are those men who just can't be honest with themselves, so how can they be honest with us, right?
Oh, they're not. I mean, mine wouldn't have given an honest answer. During the marriage, the subject did come up, and he denied it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found gay porn on the computer, and he blamed it on me, saying I gave us a virus from... So... And I was so willing to buy that story, though. I mean, I thought, well, but this was stored in the computer's history, a link
mm-hmm.
in the history. You know, he had to have been on that site. But I was so willing to buy that at the time. Oh, well, maybe it's some kind of mistake.
I think that's a story that many of our women buy when they confront their husbands and they say, oh, well, we had a virus. That's how it came up. Why would I be looking at gay porn?
Yeah.
And I tell women, don't believe it. If gay porn's on your computer, it just doesn't pop up there. It got there somehow, and let that be a red flag to you that there's a problem. You know, there are no other problems in your relationship, and you tell me that your sex life is wonderful, and there's no way that this could be happening because you have a wonderful relationship. Well, maybe then it popped up. But I would say that 99% of the time it's popping up because somebody was looking it up, right?
Yes. And by the time women do search online for signs that their husband's gay, I think there's a good chance that he is gay by that time because you've already overlooked so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that's
women
true.
Just, and I never quit my first husband, straight, my children's father. I never, ever questioned his sexuality. I knew he loved women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that women automatically think about when they're married. I mean, it's not something they're, it's the last resort is what I'm trying to say. It's the last thing you go to look up.
Right. Because we're just not socialized for a gay man to be marrying a straight woman. You know, that's not registering in our head. why would somebody gay want to be with me, right?
Yes.
There's so many reasons why, you know, the security of having a marriage, people are trying to escape who they are, religious factors, family problems, and believe me, I've heard the whole gamut, and a lot of these guys really suffer, and they do, but that's their choice. I mean, they suffer, but at least they know why they're suffering. But when we're suffering...
I believe we don't know why we're suffering. I believe they suffer, but you're right. They know why. They know why they're suffering. I mean,
right.
They drag us into this, and we don't know what's going on. I mean, it can take a long time to figure out what's going on.
They can't figure it out themselves, Deborah, so I don't know how we're supposed to figure it out. And then they keep thinking if they stay married, it will change, these feelings will go away. But in the meantime, they're still out there acting on them, and that's the problem.
Yes.
You know, once you start acting on them, you have the obligation to tell the woman you loved and made a promise to that, look, I have a problem, and we have to figure it out together, but I do have this problem. And women just have to really let go and let their husbands, you know, move on to their where they should be in life. But that's me. It's black and white, as you know.
But
that's okay.
It's pretty black and white. It's black and white for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes we don't have to look for excuses or look for the exceptions. You know, we just know what we're dealing with the rules. And, you know, it's so hard for women to get past this that I don't want to make it more difficult than it has to be. And
that's
wonderful.
I was just going to say, when something gets so confusing, when your marriage gets so confusing, you know, there's something wrong. It's you're not meant to be this confused.
Absolutely. So, Deborah, we've come to the end of another show in a moment. I want to thank you so much for coming back on, as I'd love to have you on every couple months. As someone who really gives great insight, and, you know, I love having you. I love you. So it makes it easy and like a friend on the phone, which I love. But more importantly, look up Deborah's book, Signs of a Gay Husband, on Amazon. You know, this book is really interesting, and it's really very revealing. And you can find it under Deborah Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. Or you can just look up Signs of a Gay Husband by Deborah Sutton on Amazon. So, Deborah, I hope you have a great week.
And I hope you have a great week, too, Bonnie. And
thank you for having me. Oh, I'll be having you again real soon. And thank you, and good night to all our listeners. And we love you.
Love you. Good night.
Love you. Bye-bye.